Kit in Daf Gimel Omud Beis. History or art? Ich hatima o ketiva ba'i. To understand the meaning of an object, if you're looking at something, it's important to clarify. You could be looking at an object, you could be looking at a text, you could be looking at a work of art. Are you looking at it from the perspective of history, of a record of a past event? Or are you looking at it as an object, as an artifact that is able to and has, in fact, created a different reality or a different experience? And I'll explain to you what those differences mean and how we extrapolate this from the piece of Gemara that we're learning, which, if you're learning Gittin, understanding today's Matmon will open whole sugyas of Gittin to you and make them easier to understand. And if you're not learning Gittin, then it'll just give you a tool to manage life with, which is also not bad. So for example, I could be looking at a work of art. I could be looking at Gustave Caliba's Rainy Day in Paris, and I can say, I feel such sadness and pathos. He must have been so sad and so alienated and lonely when he painted that painting. That's what I feel. And I am able to feel all this coming out of the painting. Two people walk up to me, two Edim, and they say, we were with our friend Gustav on the day he painted this painting. We watched him painting it. It was the happiest day of his life. He was cheerful, he was singing, he was dancing in the rain. There was no sadness and no pathos. And I say to them, I'm not interested in a historic fact. I'm enjoying a work of art. And they're different. Am I looking at what this says about a moment in history? Or is this something, a standalone, that communicates to me from within it rather than about it? For example, a woman wears a ring on her finger. So on the one hand, that's a record of a historic event. It tells me she's married. So if I'm a single person looking for a shidduch, I don't go up to her, I don't speak to her, I don't invite her on a date because her ring on her finger tells me she's married. But it means more to her, that ring on her finger means more to her than a data point about an event in time where she got married and a change in her legal status. Her whole wedding comes to mind when she sees her ring and feels her ring and wears her ring. That was the ring that made her into an Ashes Ish. That's the ring that made her into a wife. And later she became a mother, all because of that ring. The ring is an artifact. It's not a record of history. It's both. Or a woman who wears a hair covering, an Orthodox religious Jewish woman who covers her hair. It communicates a message, but it's also an artifact. It also tells us something. A man who wears a kippah, it tells you that he's a religious and Orthodox man. But it also is an object which within itself changes the status. It gives one Yerushalayim. It makes one conscious of God's presence. It's doing something in the moment from within itself, not just telling you about an event. And the same applies with the Torah itself. If archaeologists and historians say to me, you know, there's no record of the Jews ever having walked through the desert or not even of them ever having been in Egypt, I say to them, so keep looking. It's irrelevant to me. The Torah for me is not a document that describes a period in history. The Torah is a living artifact, a living work of art, in a sense, in the sense that it's alive. It's now. It talks to me now. It's talking to me about life, about my life, about the world, about existence. It's not a data point about history. And we've become obsessed with data and facts. And yes, they play an important part if you're studying history. But if you're experiencing art, and I'm using art in the widest sense of the word, then the data points are not very important. What's important is your direct relationship with the object or the experience that you're looking at. Now, let's try and understand the sugya. And today's piece of Gemara really is a follow-on from yesterday, although, as with all the matmonim, I try to make them standalones. So just summarizing again, we had in the Mishnah, maybe get mibdinat hayam, if you bring a get from overseas, then the shaliach, the messenger, has to say, I was present when this get was written and signed. Ask the Gemara why. Rabba gives a reason. There are two reasons given, Rabba and Rava. We're busy with Rabba's reason, lefish ein bikin lishma, because a get has to be written and signed lishma with the intention. There has to be intentionality in the writing and the signing. And in overseas countries, they don't always know the details of that. And Rashi says, by the shaliach saying that I was present, we'll engage him in conversation. So tell us about the event. What happened? What was it about? And they'll tell us. And Tosfos says, no, just tam lishma kamasid. If he's telling us, we don't have to go into that conversation with the shaliach. If he tells us I was present when the get was being written, then that's enough for us. We understand that there's a narrative behind this get. There was a husband who was intending to divorce his wife, and he came to Beis Din, and there was a sofer there, and he gave an instruction to the sofer. We assume that the shaliach saw the whole event when he says b'fanai nichtav. This is all based on the posuk of v'chatav la sefer kritut. He must write to her, la, a book of kritut, of separation. And we discussed yesterday the idea that the act of divorce begins with the writing. It's a long, extended action. It starts with the writing, and the writing, we said, is like writing a letter. It's a personal letter he's writing to his wife, terminating the marriage. And the way he writes that letter and the intention with which he writes that letter is all embedded in the letter itself, and that's what he gives to her afterwards. Today we'll see that really all works according to Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar is going to be a very important personality in Masechet Gittin. And his friend, Rabbi Meir, is an equally important personality in Masechet Gittin. But Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Meir, although they both learned from Rabbi Akiva, have different worldviews about what a get is and how it works. And it's important to understand their different worldviews because it gets interwoven into the Masechet over and over again. And it's interesting that Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Meir, both Talmidim from the same Rebbe, both Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, have such a different view. Surely they learned Masechet Gittin with Rabbi Akiva. How did he teach them? And that's the sign of an incredibly great teacher, that he left them each the capacity to take the principles and extrapolate them differently, which they did. And then Rabbi Yehuda Anasi is a Talmud of both of them. So there is Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Meir both learn from Rabbi Akiva, and then Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, from whom we have the Mishnah, learns from both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar. So they're very important in the whole structure of the Talmud, and certainly in Masechet Gittin. So our Gemara on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph at the bottom starts and says, Ule Rabba. So let's go into Rabba a little bit more. This Rabba who says that you need a get to be signed and written lishma with intention, Man hai tana debaik tiva lishma uvai chatima lishma. Who is the Tana? The two big Tanoim of Masechet Gittin or Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Meir? How does our Mishnah go? Is our Mishnah according to Rabbi Elazar or Rabbi Meir? Because it seems like neither of them. E Rabbi Meir chatima baik tiva lo bai. And here you begin to get the difference in their perspectives. If it's Rabbi Meir says a get has to have a chatima. It has to have a proper executed signature of witnesses, two witnesses. The writing's not so important. Of course, it has to be written, there has to be content in the get, but that's not the focus of our attention. The focus of our attention and the way the get works is through the signature, not through the writing. Because Rabbi Meir says, even though you're not allowed to write a get on something which is attached to the earth, in other words, you have a piece of papyrus which is still on the plant, and you write on that papyrus, and then you tear it off and give it to the woman, that means when you wrote it, it was possible. You wrote it on material that can't be used for a get. But then you tore it off and you gave it to her, says Rabbi Meir, it works. The woman is properly divorced. So you see in Rabbi Meir, it's not the writing that is important. Well, yesterday we learned how important the writing is. But you see, according to Rabbi Meir, that it's not the writing that is important. It is the signing. E Rabbi Elazar, so you'll say, maybe it's Rabbi Elazar. K'tiva boy, chatima lo boy. Rabbi Elazar doesn't need a signature. Theoretically, Rabbi Elazar says, I don't even need a signature on a get. The writing is so important, that's all I need. And as long as there are witnesses that the get was handed to the woman, I don't need witnesses on the get. So they're two completely different views as how the get operates and what the role of the witnesses are and so on and so forth. And Rashi explains it. To understand this, we're going to use a piece of Rabbi Yoshua ben Soloveitchik. And I've got the relevant section on the next page. And he says that there's a big difference. If we go to Daf Chaf Beis Amud Beis, we'll get there in a few weeks. And there we have Tosfos that makes a big difference. This is terribly important to understand in Masechet Gittin. The difference between a shtar kinyan and a shtar raya. A shtar means a document. There are two different types of documents. a document that is used to affect the Kenyan, the acquisition, the transaction, and a document that is used to prove that an acquisition took place. So, for example, we today, when we do a wedding, when we do a kiddushin, we use a ring, we use a pruta, we use shave pruta, we use a gold ring under the chuppah. And giving the woman the gold ring makes her an eshetish, it makes her married. But you could use a shtar, you could use a document. And on the document say, Arei at mekudeshet li bishtar zeh ketat Moshe v'Yisrael, and give it to her in front of two witnesses. That document is not a proof, just as the ring is not proof that she was married. The ring is the marriage. That's what does the marriage. So when you use a document to marry a woman, which we don't do today, the document's not proof that she was married. The document is the marriage. The same with karka. You can buy property with a shtar. So we could be sitting on an airplane talking, and I would disagree to buy your property, but I don't have money with me and I don't have legal documents. So I write a shtar and I hand you the shtar and I say, with this shtar, I am acquiring your property. And you accept the shtar and you do a kinyan and there are two witnesses present. Now later on, we'll do a proper legal document that will be proof of the transaction. But for now, the purpose of this document is to affect the transaction. That's called the shtar kinyan. The document that we lodge with the authorities to prove that this property belongs to me and you transferred it to me, that's a shtar raya. That's a shtar that is for proof. So a shtar is narrative. Narrative is terribly important in halakha, terribly important in life. There are two forms of communicating narrative, written and oral. A shtar is written narrative. And written narrative, what we see here, has two functions. It can record an event, it can be a data point, or it can actually create an event, as in the case of Kiddushin or Shtar Kinyan for Karka. That's the difference between these two different types of shtarot. Now, on that, Rabbi Yosha Ber, this is based on some work of Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik, his grandfather, in Hilchos Eidus on the Rambam, where we see, he says, Chazinan, Rabbi Elazar chilek ben shtar kinyan lishtar raya. Shebishtar kinyan eide mesira karti v'shtar raya eide chatima karti. What's important here is that Rabbi Elazar says there are two, these shtarot are completely different. There's the shtar which is used to affect a changed status, like a get. And there's a shtar which is used for proof of an event which happened. And this that Rabbi Elazar says over here, where Rabbi Elazar says, "Ketiva bai chatima lo bai," I don't even need witnesses on it. That's not talking from a perspective of shtar which is used for proof. If I'm using shtar for proof, of course I need witnesses on it. That's the evidence. But the shtar for a get is not about proof. It's a narrative. It's a story. It's a letter written from the heart of the ex-husband or the husband to the wife he's busy divorcing. That's what it is. That's where it comes from. It's a narrative. I don't need witnesses on it. Later on, I need witnesses to say he gave it to her. But the narrative is evident out of the artifact itself. You look at the get, you read it. You can feel the heartache. You can feel the pain. You feel the separateness. You feel everything because it's written there. There's a narrative. There's the famous story with the Lubavitcher Rebbe. He used to get these thousands of letters every day, and they asked him whether he wouldn't prefer to have one of these automatic letter openers or have somebody else open the letters for him. He used to open every letter himself, and he used to say, no, it's while he's opening the letter and holding the envelope and looking at the address on the outside that he feels the tears of the person who wrote it. He does, and then you could have two witnesses who come along, no, I was present when they wrote the letter, they weren't crying, it's irrelevant. The artifact itself, the letter, conveys the essence of what it is. Says Rabbi Loza, Eshtar Raya, that's proof, that's a data point of something that happened. Nothing emotional about it. It's information. But a get, that's a shtar kinyan. That's an artifact. It must be very clear from the writing of the get what the intention was and that it was done correctly. Witnesses I don't need on it, technically speaking. And he says, whereas Rabbi Meir holds that there's not that much of a difference between them. The way a person divorces a wife is by writing a shtar raya and giving it to her. Here is proof that from now on you're divorced. Or shtar kiddushin. Here is proof that from now on you're married. He uses a shtar raya. It's a beautiful chiddush that according to Rabbi Meir, he uses a shtar raya, a proof document, to affect the marriage. According to Rabbi Elazar, they're two different things. There's a shtar raya. This is not a shtar raya. This is not a proof document. This is an artifact which must be self-explicit. And at the last paragraph there, Nimtzashi Rabbi Elazar, Hagdarat shtar kinyan enak hagdarat shtar raya. A shtar kinyan and a shtar raya are defined differently. Zelok Rabbi Meir, v'nireshu Rabbi Elazar, ikar shtar kinyan hu sipur hadvarim, as we said yesterday. The main element of a shtar kinyan is the narrative, which has to be in the words. Shebetocho, in the words, she'alehem me'idim eidei ha'mesira. And it's that narrative that the witnesses who observe the handing over give evidence. So that's the material of the evidence. But it's not the evidence. The evidence is from the witnesses. So you have, when you're looking at a data point, you're looking at reliable data. You're looking at witnesses. Were there two eidim? How many people saw it? Is it a reliable source? Where am I getting my information from? That's about data. But we become so obsessed and attached to data that we lose a feeling for the narrative. We get completely locked up with what was Kabilot sad on the day he painted Rainy Day in Paris, or wasn't he sad? What was happening in his life that day? Who cares? I'm not looking at history of art. History of art, I want to know the details and the facts. This is not history of art, this is art. And in our learning of Torah, it's art in that sense. Of course, it's much, much more than art, but I'm using the word for lack of a better word. Torah is an artifact, it's a work of art. I'm relating to art, it's self-explicit. I want to know how Chazal understand the Torah. I want to know how the Tanoim and the Amoroim understand the Torah. I want to know how the Rishonim understand the Gemara. I want to understand how the Achronim understand the Rishonim. I'm not interested in a historian at the Hebrew University or at some other university telling me that he's found some evidence that this happened. It's irrelevant. I'm looking at a work of art, so to say. I'm looking at a self-standing work that communicates directly to me as to what is important and what there needs to be. And so as we go into the Masechta, this is going to be an important piece to come back to understanding these differences, that the get in its very essence is different from any shtar ra'aya. It's a shtar kinyan. According to Rabbi Meir, that difference is not very pronounced, and we'll see that over and over in the Masechta. And according to Rabbi Elazar, the difference is very pronounced. And from the difference that Rabbi Elazar teaches us today, we learn how to, in our own life experience, always just to question ourselves, to separate out. Is this about scientific information I'm interested in? Or am I interested in an artistic experience? If it's scientific information, I need the facts. If it's artistic experience, I need to develop my understanding and my feeling from the object itself and not from the information that surrounds it.